This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is wonderful to see everybody here this morning. Hope you've enjoyed the sunshine yesterday. I will tell you, there is more coming. More warm days, more warm temperatures. We just get used to that one good day, and it's like, yeah! So it's going back to the 30s this morning, you know. So we got to get used to it. I posted a thing on Facebook the other day, and it was, you know, 32 in the morning, 70s in the afternoon, and then we had rain, and then snow, and wind, and it's like, welcome to the Northwest. That's what we have, you know. We just don't get, people don't understand that. Kathy talked to her sister about coming up here during the summer, and she goes, oh, don't forget to bring a jacket. And it's like, why? It's the summer. It's like, because you will need it when that sun goes down. You know, it drops 60 degrees. You're going to need it. And people just don't understand that are not from here. So we are continuing on in our monthly study on forgiveness. And I hope you're enjoying this and learning something from it. I just want to do a real quick recap on what we've looked at. And I've come up with these lines dealing with forgiveness. The first week we looked at what forgiveness was. We need to understand, or what forgiveness is. We need to understand what forgiveness is in order to be able to forgive, okay, and ask for forgiveness. And that's what we looked at last week, was the vertical act of forgiveness, which is where we've sinned and we go to God and ask for forgiveness. And we looked at the scriptures dealing with what happens, how that comes about. You know, we pray through Jesus to God to ask for forgiveness, but we found out last week that it is through the blood that Jesus shed for us, for the remission of sins, that Jesus is able, as our advocate to the Father, to forgive us of our sins. Okay, and that's represented by the green vertical lines, us asking for sin, forgiveness of our sins, and Jesus giving us that forgiveness. And today we're going to look at, this week and next week, we're going to look at the horizontal avenue of forgiveness. And I've divided this up, and because it was one side of the line, and I broke it up to the white, saying that, you know, forgiveness horizontally is not always two ways. You know, you might ask for forgiveness, but that doesn't mean that you're going to get it. Or that, you know, the person is going to forgive you for something. And so, and then I got to thinking about it, as well, sometimes there is that two-way. And so I added the little small red line in between to show that, yeah, sometimes it is. You ask for forgiveness and you get the forgiveness. Okay? And we'll talk about that more next week. But for this morning, I want to start off with the scripture in Colossians 3, verses 12 and 13, and I've kind of adapted this as our first scripture to get us back into what we're talking about with forgiveness. Here Paul is talking, and he talks about, therefore, as the elect of God, which is what we are, holy and beloved, and he talks about what we're supposed to be like as a Christian, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering. Those are attributes that we as Christians should have. And a lot of people outside of Christ don't have it, okay? But we as Christians should. Verse 13, bearing with one another. Not just us with Christians, but with everybody else. We have to bear with one another and forgiving one another. Okay? That's what it is that we as Christians are supposed to do. We're supposed to forgive each other. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, there's that vertical, so you kind of, if you want to, if you feel like it, no. We as Christians, because God forgave us, Christ forgave us, we also must do. We must forgive. And it's not always that simple, is it? Depending on how we've been wronged. or how we've wronged other people. It might not be something that's simple to do. We're going to look at that a little bit this morning and a lot more next week. Okay? But we as Christians must find the way to forgive. I looked on the internet and I found these five R's to asking for forgiveness. And I want us to go over these, and maybe these R's will help us when we have to forgive somebody that has done us wrong. The first R is accept responsibility for what it is that you have done or what you have said, how you have offended this other person. Okay? Accept responsibility for your wrong. Identify and acknowledge that you wronged the person. I was wrong. That's the first step. You know, and there's a lot of programs out there today, and the first step is usually you've got to acknowledge that you've done something wrong. You've got to acknowledge that you have this problem. And we have to be able to do that. Acknowledge that you did something or said something wrong. Accept the responsibility. The second R is to express regret. Be truly remorseful and show your regret for wronging the person. You must be sincere and mean it when you say, "I am sorry." Do we have the right lesson up there? Thank you for bringing that up. Okay. So we have to be sincere in our regret. We can't say, "I'm sorry." We can't half-heartedly mean it. You know, it'd be better off to not say it than to not mean it. Okay? We've got to be sincere in our understanding. We've got to be sincere in our asking for the forgiveness. You know, it's kind of like, whatever. No, that's not how it has to be. It has to be sincere from the heart. Otherwise, you asking for forgiveness does not mean anything. Should be slide four. Will not mean anything. Okay? So we have to mean what it is. We've got to be remorseful. We've got to express our regret. And the third thing is genuine repentance. Repent means to turn away. Express to the one you have wronged that you will not do this again. I will do my best to not ever do this again. And you've got to mean it. Okay? You've got to mean it. You've got to turn away from whatever it is that you did or from whatever it is that you said and do your best not to do it again. Otherwise, what good is it? Accept responsibility, express regret, have genuine repentance, and then reconcile, number four. Express the desire to heal the relationship between you and the person you have wronged. I want to earn your respect or friendship back again. I want to get back in honor with you. Okay? Reconcile. Heal the relationship. And depending on what it is that you did or what you said, it might not be that easy. And it might take years to reconcile the situation. But you've got to do everything you can to do that. And then number five is to make restitution. You may need to do something to make things right again. What can I do to make it right? You know, maybe you need to go to counseling. Maybe you can find some books on the situation and you can read those together and to help. You know, but whatever it is that you need to do to make restitution between you and this other person, be willing to honestly, be willing to take those steps to help heal that relationship. That's part of, you know, forgiving. It's not just say, okay, yeah, I forgive you, whatever, go ahead. You know, you have to honestly mean it. I went and looked through, did a search on forgive, and when you do that, it gives any words that deal with forgive, forgiveness, forgiving, and I read through all of those verses, and surprisingly, there was only a couple that I could find that really applied to this idea of asking for forgiveness. All this, most of the scripture that I found that we'll look at next week deal with forgiving others, not asking for forgiveness. So I'm going to pull up the three that I found that I kind of worked into this idea, and then we're going to look at a story from the Old Testament that really brings it home. Our first scripture this morning is in Luke 6, verses 37 and 38. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. So the first two things that Jesus talked about here is what not to do. It doesn't come back on you. But then he changes and gives, forgive, and you will be forgiven. If you have a habit of not forgiving people, then why should you be forgiven? Okay? If-then statement. If you want to be forgiven for a wrong you've committed, then you need to be willing to forgive people for the wrongs that they have done to you. Verse 38, give and it will be given to you. Let's look at faith or forgiveness. If you forgive, if you give forgiveness, it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. So if you want to be forgiven, then you need to be willing to forgive other people. You need to be willing to forgive that same person that you're asking for forgiveness. You know, if you've never forgiven them, why should they forgive you? The next verse is, flip over a few chapters and still in Luke, chapter 17, verses 3 and 4. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. Forgiveness. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Now, don't read into this what's not stated. That doesn't mean that you only have to forgive somebody seven times in a day. We'll look at another scripture that deals with this next week, okay? With 70 times seven. So there is no restrictions or limit to how many times you need to forgive somebody. Going back to our five R's, you need to work on not doing those things again. But if that person offends you seven times in a day, Jesus is telling you've got to forgive seven times that day. You've got to be willing to accept that act, you know, of forgiveness. You know, I'm sorry, I messed up again, you know, and forgive them. Maybe they've said a word that offends you. Let's go with something maybe simple, okay? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. I know you're a Christian. Can you forgive me? Yes, I can. An hour later, you're talking to them again and whatever, and they say the same word again. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that again. You know, I know it offends you. Can you forgive me? Yes, I can. You know. After lunch, they say something again. Oh, man. Oh. Yes, I can forgive you again. Okay. And the next day, and the next day, if that's what happens. That's what we as Christians are required to do. And then the last verse is in 2 Corinthians 2, verses 5 through 11. But if anyone has caused grief, he has not grieved me, but all of you to some extent, not to be too severe. This punishment, which was inflicted by the majority, is sufficient for such a man, so that, on the contrary, you ought rather to forgive and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one be swallowed up with too much sorrow. And we talked about this last week, about how there's two sides to this world. You're either in light or darkness. The light being the power of God, or the darkness being the power of Satan. Okay? And so what we see here from Paul is saying that we need to be willing to accept the forgiveness from somebody, because if we don't, we could be putting them into a point to where they get swallowed up with too much sorrow. They end up going to the dark side. Okay? I know it. I had to say it. Okay? But you've got to be careful with how you treat somebody who has offended you. You know, if you get tired, you know, I've forgiven you seven times today, you know, for cursing at me, that's it. I'm not doing it anymore. Well, maybe that ends up pushing them away from doing good. So we've got to be careful on how we treat people who offend us. Again, as a Christian, we need to be willing and able to accept their apologies and be able to forgive them. We don't want to be responsible for sending them away. Verse 8, therefore I urge you to reaffirm your love to him. For to this end I also wrote that I might put you to the test whether you are obedient in all things. Now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant to his devices. Again, that light and darkness, the power of God, the power of Satan. Okay? We need to be careful. We need to understand the devices that Satan uses. And he is looking for ways to get us to sin. And he is using forgiveness as one of those ways to get at us and to get at other people. Okay? And we need to understand that. That something as simple as forgiving somebody could be an open door for Satan to get into that person. So we've got to be careful, brothers and sisters. We've got to be willing to overlook to an extent, but we need to be able to overlook and forgive people so that Satan doesn't use that opening, you know, for his devices to get at somebody, even to get at you, for you not being willing to forgive. The story I want to talk about is found in 2 Samuel 12, verses 1 through 13. This deals with David and the sin that he committed. And he knew he'd committed it, but he did not acknowledge the sin that he had committed. So God sends Nathan to have a one-on-one talk with David and to open his eyes. And sometimes that's what we need, that we get so caught up in our sins, but we need to be slapped, if you will, to wake up. Verse 1, 2 Samuel 12. Then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he went to him, and he said to him, gives him a little story. There were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished, and it grew up together with him and his children. It ate of his own food and drank from his own cup and lay in his bosom, and it was like a daughter to him. And a traveler came to the rich man, who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd and prepare one for his wayfaring man. who had come to him, but he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. So David's anger was greatly aroused against the man, and he said to Nathan, "As the Lord lives, the man who has done this shall surely die. And he shall restore fourfold for the lamb because he did this thing and because he had no pity." Then Nathan said to David, here's the slap, "You are the man."
"Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your keeping, and gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had not been too little, I also would have given you much more.
Why have you despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? You have killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword. You have taken his wife to be your wife," being Bathsheba, "and have killed him and with the sword of the people of Ammon." And verses 10 through 12 are just kind of rehash that last a little bit there in verse 10. Verse 9. So we're going to go over that and go to verse 13. So David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." He didn't try to excuse himself. He didn't try to talk himself out of it. He didn't, you know. David realized what he had done. David realized that he had sinned against God. Remember the five R's. Take responsibility. David did. He was wrong. Regret. He was sorry for what he had done and what he had caused to that family, killing her husband. Repentance. I will do my best to never do this again. And he never did. Reconcile. I want to get back in your good graces, which there's no way that he could in this situation. God ends up taking the son that she had from that experience. And restitution, what can I do to make this right? Okay? Again, remember, David was a man after God's own heart. Okay? So even this big sin that he had committed, he did follow these R's and came back into good graces with God. And I want to end this morning with my ending verse or verses for this month in Ephesians 4, verses 25 to 32. "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth." Again, what we as Christians, how we're supposed to be living. "But what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another. Be tenderhearted." And again, here it is. "Forgiving one another," the horizontal forgiveness, "even as God in Christ forgave you." There's the vertical. Because of the vertical, we have to do the horizontal. Because God, through God, Christ, forgives us, we have to be willing to forgive those around us, those that we come in contact with. Whether it's family, whether it's friends, whether it's, you know, somebody at work, whatever. There is no restrictions as to when and where and how we are to forgive. We as Christians are to forgive. And it's hard, depending on what has been said or what has been done. But we have to be willing to get past that and work through that so that we can forgive. Next week, we have more scripture that we'll look at the dealing with how to forgive. Okay? So please try to be here next week for that. If there's any way that we can help you this morning, let us know. Let us help you. Let us deal with forgiveness together and get through this so that we can forgive, because it is something that we are commanded to do as a Christian. If there's any way we can help you, let us know. Let us pray for you. Or if you haven't put on Christ and that's something that you want to do today, I've checked it. The water's warm this morning. it had kicked the circuit breaker, so we've got that taken care of. But let's take care of that sin problem as well, as together we stand in sin.